Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Obviously, we're playing London Calling because we are going to London right now. And my guest is Fred Weintraub. He's a journalist, the creator of Worldly Fellow, and royal correspondent for WCIU-TV's You and Me in the Morning. And we have a link to Worldly Fellow Facebook page on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. The reason we're going to talk with Fred is in London, and a huge thing is happening right now. A huge vote is happening right now. The polls are open in the UK. They've been open since 7 a.m. there, and now I believe it's 9:30 there. And they're going to remain open until 10 p.m. And this is they're voting as to whether or not they want to leave the European Union. And they're calling this the Brexit, as in Britain exit, Brexit. They're voting on that. And this is a big deal, and we want to get the information on it. Fred, welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
All right. Before we get into this, tell everybody about Worldly Fellow.
So really, Worldly Fellow is a Facebook page that I use when there's something specific going on in the UK and Britain that I think Chicagoland wants to know about. It all started as me having a relationship with WCIU for the past 20 years and being the royal correspondent for You and Me. So as you can imagine, as the Queen has turned 90 years old and things have happened, you will find interesting pictures, thoughts about what's realistic related to the monarchy and what's not. And we live in a world, both good or bad, where people are crazed about Queen Elizabeth, about Prince Harry, about William, and about George. And it's because we don't have that in the United States. And so it's been an opportunity over the last 7 years as I travel back and forth between Chicago, where I work, and London, where I work. And I have been here at times when among the greatest royal things have happened, like the wedding of William and Kate, and, of course, the 90th birthday of the Queen. But the bottom line is half the world cares because it's celebrity-based. Clearly, there's a patriotic sense that the Queen has, in a non-political way, held this country together. But there's also the other half of the world that thinks it's a crock and think it's a waste of money. Although I could sit all day, and when I first came over here, I thought, you know what, these people have a good gig, and I wish I could get that kind of gig and that kind of money. But you soon come to realize that they raise so much money for the different charities and patronages that they're involved in. And when you come over here and you have the Chicago attitude, like I kind of did, that they're lazy and they ride some horses and they go back and forth between Buckingham Palace and Windsor Castle and a few other homes, and you realize that some of the key senior royals are doing between 300 and 600 appearances every year, and they're not doing appearances like the Kardashians are doing appearances. So it gives you kind of a whole take on what they're being about. And you also are going to see and will have seen the biggest change between how William and Charles are going to run the monarchy versus how Queen Elizabeth has run it. And you've seen mistakes that she's made through how she acted during the death of Princess Diana. And what changes she made, and she really made social changes, and she got what young people thought about. And so I have a lot more respect for what she has been able to do. And now we're in an interesting time because there's this big vote going on today, and you're going to ask me in a minute what I think about this whole thing. And I guess my first answer is going to be, I don't know what to think. It's a huge issue on many different levels. It's kind of an onion that if you peel back and you kind of look at all the sides and say, who do you believe here? And I try to be objective about it, but the answer is you don't really know who to believe here. Just as in America, as I watch the feeds of what Hillary's doing and what Trump's doing, and you look back as a voter and you kind of say to yourself, Who do I believe on both sides? Well, you got the same thing here with the Brexit issue.
Well, the Brexit issue, for people that might not know, explain what's going on. England is voting today on whether or not to leave the European Union. And this is a big deal. This is a real big deal. Now, this is a huge decision that the Brits are going to make.
It is a big deal. And it's a big deal because with the EU, Britain is part of 28 countries, a 28-country country club that takes care of certain laws, is clearly involved in the economics of these 28 countries, and is involved in security. So, and I don't want to oversimplify it because it's very, very complicated, but as UK voters go into the booth between 7 o'clock this morning and 10 o'clock tonight, they really, I would think, are going to decide, is it better to stay as a whole within this force of 28 countries, or is it not worth it to stay in it because we don't get enough out of it? So if you believe the numbers, and the numbers suggest that every year the UK pays, I think, $16.3 billion, which is kind of like the membership fee to get in, to be a part of it.
Right.
Do you get enough back to make it worthwhile? So you've got the inside, which is the people who are voting that want to vote to stay in, and it's led by David Cameron. You know David Cameron is the prime minister. The problem is that doesn't really come up in the media is the only real reason that this issue is being brought forth at this time, on this day, is because when David Cameron went to get reelected in 2015, one of the planks that he promised to the people here was that he would call for a vote at the end of by the end of 2016 for this EU referendum. If he hadn't done this, there are not people running around the streets of Britain going, we have to have this referendum, we have to have this referendum. But he made it because he had to fulfill a promise into a political issue. And then beginning in April, the process started. So you've got this campaign that's been going on for the last 9 weeks. In some ways, it's better than the American system, in my opinion, because where we vote for president for a two-year period of time, they get on with their prime minister elections and with their referendum elections over a specific period of time, and then they can get back to get back to work. So they've campaigned both sides, Boris Johnson for leaving the EU and Cameron for staying in, and literally until last Thursday, that's what you've seen on television, and that's what the campaigning was about. But at last Thursday, something very, very bad here in this country happened, which was the killing of an MP, which is like a senator in America, that she was in her constituency, 41 years old, two kids, had been in government in the position in Parliament for a year, and a 52-year-old man with a gun that apparently or allegedly that he made at home or through a kit went up to her as she was entering her meeting at a local library and stabbed her and shot her, and ultimately she died.
And this was Joe Cox, who she was a vocal supporter of remaining with the EU, and this guy yelled, "Put Britain first," before he killed her.
He did.
Yeah.
He absolutely did do that. And so it stopped Britain in its tracks. And I think no matter what side of the agenda politically someone is on, I think people were taken aback. And taken aback in this country because this country isn't used to gun violence. Yes, there are a lot of stabbings, but it's very, very hard to get a gun. And the key politicians here said, is this the right way to run a referendum? And has it become so vile and so full of hatred that this has happened? Now, could this have been just a one-off case? Yes, probably was a person with mental illness. But it took everybody back, and it stopped the campaigning for 3 days.
Now, were the campaigns, you know, you being there, the things that you see on television, were they down and dirty? Were they the kind of dirty campaign stuff that we see here in America?
Not as in my opinion, not as dirty, because at least from an outside perspective, there seems to be a notch up of civility that I'm not seeing in the presidential campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's as down and dirty as it is here. But what it is here is, so in a polite way, the politicians here are, if you believe, depending on which side you're on, they're doing their best to scare people. And so scaring people is them going around the country, as they've done, and saying, if you don't stay in the EU, you will not be as secure as you were before. If we make a mistake, this is a generational mistake. The mistake, and we won't be able to come back. It's a mistake that will affect us right now. It will affect your kids, and it will affect your grandkids.
Right.
And in the end, whether you're going to a polling booth on Belmont Street in Chicago, or you're in St. John's Wood near Abbey Road Studios, and you're going into a library later today to vote, people go in my opinion, and they vote a lot of times with their heart.
Right.
And their heart's going to say, or at least what I'm hearing from people in the pubs, is we go in and we say, is this decision a better decision for us economically and for our kids economically,
right,
or is it not?
Okay, Fred, hang on. I got to stop you right there because we had to take a break. But when we come back, we'll talk more, okay?
Yep.
Hang on 1 second. Fred Weintraub is with us, and he is the Worldly Fellow, and he's also the Royal Correspondent at WCIU-TV's You and Me in the Morning. And we're talking about the Brexit vote, which is happening today as we speak. People are in the polling places voting, and this is a big deal. It's pretty historic. And we'll get more from Fred's point of view, who is in London, coming up after we take a break for the weather and the traffic. Welcome back, everybody. Thursday morning on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And here till 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich at 5, and then the great Steve Cochran at 6. My guest right now is Fred Weintraub. He's a journalist. He's the creator of Worldly Fellow Facebook page, which we have a link on our Facebook page to. And he's the Royal Correspondent for WCIU-TV's You and Me the Morning. And Fred Weintraub joins us. He's live in London. We're talking about the Brexit vote, which is happening right now. The polls are open, Fred, till 10 p.m. Tonight in the U.K.
That's correct. So they'll vote all day. They'll vote into tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is there are 382, wards. All the votes will go to central locations. They're mostly counted by hand because when you go into a voting booth here, you're really handed a paper ballot and you X off. Do I want to stay in the EU? Do I want to get out of the EU? And between 10 p.m. and tomorrow morning, there will be an answer as to how the world, at least this part of the world, is going to change. And if it changes to the point where Britain gets out of the EU, you will probably see a huge economic volatility change that will be pretty quick from a stock market standpoint. And in part because people won't know what to expect. And that's
right.
What I think they're most frightened of, is if you vote to get out of the EU, you can argue the point that you're free of the EU requirements, that the money that they've had to spend to go to the EU can be spent on other things. You can argue that with immigration, that maybe less people will come into Britain, and so the jobs that are here will be for British citizens. But the truth is, you just don't know. And the process will be a two-year process if, as it moves forward, if they vote to get out.
Right.
And it's all a part of negotiations. So leaving suggests that you don't really know what to get.
And the financial ramifications will happen almost immediately. Like the markets will be really affected by it. And you know, the people don't like unstable markets, Fred, as you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The markets are going to go crazy, are going to be volatile. You know, when Janet Yellen has to come out and make a statement about interest rates in America and tie it in some way to Brexit, you know that America's watching. And when President Obama comes here in April, and whether you like it or not in what he said, he basically gave the viewpoint, if you get out, hey, Britain, if you get out of the EU, you are not going to be part of this 28-country force. We are still going to be your great friends. You're still a strong military influence. But you might go back in the queue. And so that's in part what people have to think about. And I think a lot of people don't know what to do.
There's another interesting wrinkle here because, if the UK leaves, Scotland doesn't want to leave. And will have a referendum for their own independence so that they can go back in and join the EU.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
Yeah, really.
Kind of crazy that they can all do that. But Scotland does not want to leave. So if Britain's out, Scotland's coming back and saying, we're putting on our kilts and we're gonna try to stay. If you see that we get out, if the world sees that we're getting out, that Britain's getting out of the EU, then the next question really is, what other countries are going to try to do the same
right,
thing?
Right, exactly.
Is Italy going to do that? Is Germany going to do that? So there are a lot of negative reasons that when you divide your paper and you say, what's good about this, what's bad about it, you can see a lot of things that would have negative implications.
Yeah.
But just like in the States, I think people here are only as informed as they intellectually can and want to be, and they don't know who's telling them the truth because there's so many layers of, from a media standpoint, there's so many layers of, is this part true, is this part not true? What I think the media is doing a great job of, both in the States and in the UK, is every time you have a debate, they have these fact-checker spin room sessions, which you've seen on the live shots that we all do. And they're really pointing fingers at the politicians and saying, okay, they made this statement, but this part is really true, and this part is false. And that's the only way the average bloke here in the UK can make an informed, intelligent decision as to where they want to go.
Now, let me ask you this. You mentioned briefly before the break, Fred, that you were hearing some scuttlebutt and getting some information and a feeling of what the Londoners were thinking in the pubs and things like that. What is your impression of how the vote's going to go? It's going to be very, very close. But what's the feeling that you're getting from your basic Londoner, somebody who hangs out in a pub, that kind of thing?
My gut feeling is that it is going to be so close that I don't really know the answer. If you pushed me on it and you said, bottom line, Fred, which way is this going to go? I would probably say to you, Nick, I think Britain is going to stay in the EU because I get the sense from talking to people here that they would rather know, with all the problems that this country has, they know what to expect. They know what to expect. And in getting out of the EU, it's all talk. You really don't know what to expect because it hasn't been negotiated.
Yeah.
And for some people, that's fine because they're willing to take a risk. They may not have an economically sound life right now or live a really good life because it's hard to do that in a country where it's so expensive to live. So for them, it's like, you know what? It's not good right now, so it can't be any worse.
Right.
But I think when we wake up on Friday morning and we look at the numbers, that you're going to see that it's going to be close, but you're going to see that they're going to stay in the EU.
Okay.
The only caveat I would make on that is if the weather gets lousy today, and I'm looking out the office window right now, and it's gray skies and it's been raining on and off, if there's not a heavy voter turnout today, to me that's kind of a Geiger counter on if people can't get off their rears and go out and vote on what is clearly one of the most important issues that the Brits will face. Does that say that they don't really care about it? I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Now, the last question for you, has the Queen weighed in on this?
So the Queen officially will never weigh in on anything. She will be neutral.
Okay.
She will never publicly come out and do that.
Okay.
But privately, when you look at the headlines in the paper, as she's had dinner guests every night for the last couple of months, reporters are suggesting that she said to them, give me three reasons why we should get out of the EU. So he's thinking about it. And although I don't think she's going to be staying up till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to wait for the vote, it's probably clearly on her mind.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Fred, real pleasure talking to you. And the world is watching the Brexit right now.
They are. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care. There you go, everybody. That's Fred Weintraub. You can he's the royal correspondent for WCIU-TV's You and Me in the Morning, and he is your worldly fellow on Facebook. All right. Interesting stuff. Has worldwide implications. It's Brexit. The vote is happening, and it will continue until 10 p.m. London time. Okay. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back after this on WGN.